Today on Real Radio.
And that is the great argument of today. How is it that Israel has the right to the land? If we're looking at the time of Joshua and then the time of the judges, where Israel, the children of Israel, are in the land of Israel, how is it that it's their land? It will never be their land in your mind unless you believe in the God of the Bible. Amen. That is why it all comes back down to the ancient old argument from Mount Carmel. It is against Yahweh the Lord, the God of the Bible, and Baal, or nowadays Allah of Islam.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher begins a new series in an Old Testament book that describes what we call the period of the Judges. We're speaking, of course, about the book of Judges, wherein is mentioned more than once that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in the first presentation of this series called Time for a New Direction.
Time for a New Direction. You expect people to be putting up a title like that, because that seems to be with every campaign season. There seems to be the people announcing, you know, this and that, and vote this way and go the other, because everybody's renewed about these things that maybe a new change in direction, a new change in government might bring. And it's part of the human nature. It's part of the human heart to long and to look for something different and something exciting. But that's not the case. That is, no real change happens without the Lord. In Psalm 144, that's a big psalm, Psalm 144, verse 15, the Bible says, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. You got to jot that down. In our introductory consideration of the book of Judges, happy are the people, says the psalmist, whose God is the Lord. And that's exactly what we're talking about when you look at this book, because you're going to see a people by way of the judges of Israel presiding over them. You're looking at a group of people, a gathering of God's people, who are seeking all kinds of ways to find leadership and to find God's leading, but they go about it in so often the wrong way. And church, I want you to pay close attention to that as we get into this book, because if you think about it, the nation of Israel had been in Israel in a dispersed manner. They had been vagabonds, so to speak. They had gone down into captivity with the nation of Egypt. Under Egypt's rule, under Egypt's heavy hand, the children of Israel had been there for some 400 plus years. And of course, you know the story that God brought up out of the people there in bondage there in Egypt, the children of Israel, Moses. And God obviously brought him and groomed him and schooled him in all of the ways of the Egyptians. Moses was not only blessed in that manner, in that he was brilliant, having been taught the best, but he had the heart for his people. And you know the story that he led the children of Israel out of Egypt, and there in the wilderness wanderings, it's so sad that the wilderness wanderings took place at all, when from Goshen, from that area to the promised land, it's 11 days journey by foot at 3 miles an hour. If you walk, that's the average speed, 3 miles an hour a person walks. If they walked 3 miles an hour, the children of Israel would have gotten to the promised land in 11 days. And they did donuts, they did circles in the wilderness for 40 years because disobedience, because they would not listen to the Lord. They claimed to want to be led by God, but as soon as God gave them a commandment, they veered away and wandered from the Lord. And so Moses, not having brought the children of Israel into the promised land, God raised up Joshua, and Joshua led them into the promised land. And as they came into the promised land, God having given them that land and promising to them the land that they were to drive out the enemy that were there occupying the land. And they did that to some degree. They left a lot of these pagan tribes still living in the land that God said drive them out of. But when Joshua died, there came a time after Joshua and after the elders that before the kings came, before Saul came, before David, there was a period that after the wilderness wanderings and before the kings of Israel, there's the time of the judges. And we'll see some of them in the next few weeks. Very exciting people, not all of them walking with God. And you'll see a nation. You'll see the children of Israel be a people who, having been given great promises of God, having been given the word of God and miracles by God, fail to pass it on to the next generation of God's people. And in doing that, they had become estranged from the power of God and from the witness of God. And you see a group of people just stumbling from one disaster to the next during the period of the judges of Israel. So by way of background, by way of introduction to this book, just some cold hard facts this evening. The time and the place of the book of Judges. Judges covers a time span from about 1380 BC down to 1050 BC. And during that time, and you'll see it in the book, it is a very turbulent, transitional period of time in Israel's history, from the coming out of the land with Joshua in great battles and victories, then onto the period of the kings. There is this time that is somewhat disjointed. There's three things I want to point out to you. By this time, Israel had already, the children had already been freed from the grip of Egypt in their minds. Remember, their parents had died in the wilderness. These are the ones that moved into the land, and now they're having kids. So now you've got a couple, maybe two generations removed, or maybe three. So they're propagating. And that's important to remember, as we'll see in our study here. After the 40 years of boot camp wandering, you would have thought that all of the miracles that God had done for them, it would have been passed on to the generations. It was not. They failed to do that. And then under the leadership and the witness of Moses and Joshua, you would have thought that following in the line of these great leaders, there would have been somebody to rise up or to stand up and be a great contender for the things of God. It didn't happen. Mark this. Israel was in the promised land. That is very key. But they lacked the knowledge of God, and they lacked the necessary route or leadership toward God. It's neat to mark. I think it's wonderful to mark this. You're really going to want to write this down, I think, when I give you the full understanding of this right here. In the Bible, nationally, in the Bible, Israel as a nation, out of 2,293 verses, in the old King James Bible, that's 2,293 verses. Israel as a nation is mentioned 2,565 times in the Bible. You say, what's so big about that? Because there are people saying that Israel has no business being in the land that they're in. Mark that. It's very popular today to be saying that. That they have no right to be in the land because they were not the first ones in the land. That they were given the land by Joshua through conquest. They came in. Now watch this. This is key to the news on CNN and everything else right now. That Israel came in and moved out all of these Canaanite nations. That's true. You mean, Pastor, are you admitting that there were people in the land of Israel before the Israelis got there? Yes, there were. They were there. There were people there. They were pagan Canaanite nations there first. Oh, then wait. Then whoever there is first gets the land, right? Well, if there was no God, you're right. True. First come, first serve, unless there's God. Unless A, God made the world and everything in it, and he owns it all. If God is the owner, God who? God of the Bible. If God is the owner of the earth and everything there is, then does he not, listen class, does he not have the right to give it to anyone whom he chooses? Amen. Absolutely. You say, well, wait a minute, there were people there first. Yes, there were people there first. They migrated there, no doubt about it, but listen, they did not. Not one of those tribal nations served the Lord. In fact, they were anti-God, and they served the gods of ancient Babylon. So, God says, I will give the land to whomever I choose. He promised it to a man who came out of ancient Babylon, or today, ancient Iraq. And who was that man? Abraham. God says, it's my world, it's my earth, and I've chosen a land. Abraham, I'm going to give it to you. And I'll tell you, and I'll show you where that land is. Now, God said that. Now, right there, you as a believer, you believe that because the Bible says that, and you have no problem with that. CNN does not believe that. And I'm not beating up on CNN. I watch it all the time. I do. But I'm just picking on anybody I can right now. If you don't believe that it was given by promise, then you believe that the human means is what counts. And so you would naturally come to the conclusion that Israel has no right to the land. Why? Because I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God's promises. I don't believe that God made it all. It's first come, first serve. And that is the great argument of today. How is it that Israel has the right to the land? If we're looking at the time of Joshua and then the time of the judges, where Israel, the children of Israel, are in the land of Israel, how is it that it's their land? It will never be their land in your mind unless you believe in the God of the Bible. Amen. That is why it all comes back down to the ancient old argument from Mount Carmel. It is against Yahweh the Lord, the God of the Bible, and Baal, or nowadays Allah of Islam. That's what it's come down to. Everything else is all a bunch of peripheral stuff. It's back down to exactly what happened at Mount Carmel. It's the moon god versus the God of heaven and earth. It's ancient Babylonianism versus the eternal God. The God of the Bible is not the God of the Quran. And if you're a Muslim here tonight, or if you know a Muslim, you don't ever want to insult them by saying that the God of the Quran is the same God of the Bible, or the God of the Bible is the same God as the Quran. They will be offended because they know it is not true. It's not the same God. They're completely different in character and in conduct and in message. But if you listen again to the modern news media, they will try to tell you that we all serve the same God. If we all serve the same God, then what in the world is going on? Huh? If we all serve the same God, why don't we just hug one another? And if we all serve the same God, why doesn't the message of this God be the same? Because it's not. 2,293 times does the name Israel appear in the Bible, not once in the Quran. Not once. 2,565 times, listen to this. Now, out of Jerusalem, the name of the city Jerusalem, by the way, it's the most mentioned city in the Bible. Babylon's the second most mentioned city in the Bible. Jerusalem is mentioned 811 times in the Bible. Not once in the Quran is Jerusalem mentioned. Not once. Just keep that in mind, because as you go through this book, you are going to be encountering the Canaanites. Who are they? What did they worship? Where did they get their worship practices from? Even though the Canaanites predate Islam and the message of Muhammad by millennia, it goes back to the ancient gods of Babylon. So there's always been a hatred towards Israel in the world. There's going to be. It's going to increase, says the Bible. There will always be a hatred against those who support Israel. That's always going to be true. That's not going to change. It will increase. And there will always be a hatred against the Bible. The Bible, mark these words, not that I'm a prophet, I just know it's coming. There'll be a greater hatred against the Bible as our days go on. There'll be a greater hatred, an anti-Semitic view against the Jewish nation and Jewish people as time goes on. And there's going to be a greater hatred against those who support the Bible. Christian, are you a Christian tonight? People are going to hate you for believing in the Bible and mock you and make fun of you. And we mentioned that on Sunday. But why? Because the issues that surround Israel are spiritual issues. Everything about the Jewish people and what we're going to be looking at in Judges and all of the things that you're going to be learning in these studies, what is it all about? Is it pure politics? Oh, no. Is it geography and borders? No. It's what's behind all that? Our spiritual issues. What's going on in the world today? Spiritual issues. Do you think for a moment that all of the stuff that's going on in the world with all of this violence and hatred and agenda is a mere political issue? I hope you're more awake than that. I mean, it's very, very spiritually driven issues all around the world. And it's increasing. Keep that in mind. Israel and the land of promise is something that will be greatly contended against. But remember this. It is God, the God of the Bible, who made the promises. Will you jot these down if you would? Again, this is all introduction. We'll get as far as we can tonight. So don't worry. We have nothing exactly planned. So if we get halfway through verse 1, we'll do great. The God of the Bible, Yahweh the Lord, says this, that he is the God of Israel, over and over again in the scripture. By the way, he says it, that he is the God of Israel 203 times in the Bible. I'll just give you a few of them. Exodus chapter 5, verse 1. Afterwards, Moses and Aaron went and told Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." Joshua 8, verse 30. Now Joshua built an altar to the God of Israel in Mount Ebal. Judges 5, 3. "Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes, and I even sing to the Lord. I will sing praises to the Lord God of Israel," says the ancient Bible. And then New Testament, Luke chapter 1, verse 68. "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and he has raised them up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." It is the Bible that says, and this is interesting, it's all going to come together in these studies on Wednesday nights. "The Lord God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob," says the Bible. That's important. Nowhere in the Bible does the Lord God say that he's the God of Ishmael or Muhammad or Osama, for that matter. He doesn't say it. Whenever you pick up your Bible and whenever you go far back as you absolutely can, what do you hear? You hear God announcing that he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus put it to us this way. It's a wonderful thing that Jesus did say about it. Jesus said concerning Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he says, God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. And in that scripture there, Jesus was announcing that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are alive somewhere in eternity. We know where. And God is announced by Jesus here on earth that he's the God of the living. And that is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Over and over again, says the scripture. That's very key. You need to understand the timeline of that. Before there was any of that stuff, you've got the God of eternity who announces to the world that he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All this comes in the putting together of the book of Judges. Important. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 8, there Moses writes, "See, I've set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them and their descendants after them." For the nation, it was a time, though, of great transition when you come to the period of the judges. And a little bit of review on that is in Joshua 24. Listen to this. Joshua 24, verse 28. It says, "So Joshua let the people depart, each to his own inheritance. Now it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried Joshua within the border of his inheritance at Timnath-serah, which is in the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of Mount Gash. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua," listen, "and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord, which the Lord had done for Israel, and the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel had brought up out of the land of Egypt, they buried at Shechem in the plot of ground which Jacob had bought there from the sons of Hamor, in the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and which had become the inheritance of the children of Joseph." All of these areas from ancient time, God was distributing his people and putting his people. And so we need to consider the glorious announcement to this. And listen, Christian, we need to keep this in mind, that when we talk about Joshua bringing the people into the promised land and then the subsequent rule or jurisdiction of these judges, remember this, that when you look to the Old Testament, what is in the Old Testament concealed? I think it's G. Campbell Morgan who concocted this little thing. It's a great little way to look at it. Whatever is concealed in the Old Testament is revealed in the New. That's why your Old Testament and your New Testament does not contradict each other. That's why the Old Testament and the New Testament dovetail together. That's why, especially when you read Matthew's Gospel, who that is written to the Jew, Matthew Levi is his name. And by the way, when you think about it, when a Jewish person opens up the New Testament, which they're not supposed to do, they're told not to read it. When they peek and they open up to Matthew, they first of all, they find out, Matthew Levi, the guy's a Jew. The first book of the New Testament, which they believe is a pagan, terrible Gentile thing. Paul the Apostle says in the book of Romans, the veil of blindness is over their eyes so that they can't understand it right now, but that veil is going to be removed. But when they take a peek and they find out Matthew Levi, and then there's the genealogy given, they know all those guys. Oh my goodness, we know these people. And that's why Matthew says that this happened as it was written in the prophets, behold, the virgin shall conceive it. Are you with me? And he quotes the Old Testament. You look at the New Testament book of Matthew, quoting the Old Testament to draw attention to the fact of the Jewish people that God has come and announced the gospel in the Word of God. It was in the old concealed, it was in the new revealed. Perfect agreement. So when you think of that, Joshua, who led the children of Israel, who believed, by the way, these are the children of those who died in the wilderness. They came into the promised land having believed in the message. And Joshua is a wonderful type of Jesus leading us into the promised land. You say, well, wait a minute, I have a problem with that promised land. If it's promised to the children of Israel, then why is there so much warfare? Ah, well, let me ask you this. If Jesus is a type of Joshua to the New Testament believer, and we are now Christians and we're on our way to heaven, isn't it just perfect? And is it not encouraging for you to consider the fact that now that we are children of God and we've been grafted into the family of God, do we not struggle? Do we not have battles every day? Is there not wars to be fought in the spirit regarding temptation, regarding all the things that you and I struggle with? Absolutely. Man, if you don't know what I'm talking about, then you're probably not a Christian. You and I used to sin up a storm before we were Christians and we loved every moment of it. And then we got saved. And then we canceled the plans. And then we didn't want to go sin anymore.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Time for a New Direction. It's the first presentation of this series taken from the Book of Judges, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, recently, we wrapped up Pastor Jack's examination of the New Testament letter to the Ephesians. And what we've done is placed that entire series all on one MP3 CD. So here's our offer for your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount. We'll be happy to send you Pastor Jack's series in Ephesians. Whether you call, click, or write, be sure and indicate the Ephesians Study Series on MP3 CD. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. You can also visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be located at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.